Guess what? America is the number one country for child trafficking because we got the money, the perverts, they're willing to spend the money.
The same thing. United States is the biggest consumers of that.
The end of the
podcast. Mindset, heart set, body set, and spiritual set.
We can be stronger for our families and our communities.
All right, Berkman. So we are here. And I don't even want to do the introduction anymore because of that.
We just had a full conversation before we even got started on this podcast, right? We just did a whole podcast without even being on air, right? So what's up, Wolfpack? We're live now, aren't we, Josh?
We're live now, Wolfpack. And I'm excited to get into today's episode.
Absolutely.
There's been some interesting stuff that you've been – you went to an event last night. That we're going to talk about.
Yeah, and we're going to get into that. An OUR event that was powerful. And my eyes are open, but even they can always be opened a little bit more, right? Mm-hmm. Which today I told you I wanted to talk about martial arts and then tie into that event.
Yep.
And then you said I got a good name for the podcast then, which was what?
The Way of the Warrior.
The Way of the Warrior.
Part one.
Yeah, part one.
Yeah.
Which is also, I mean, why you are, you know, what you are and branding yourself the wellness warrior now, you know, why I was, you know, and am the people's warrior, you know, it's like, I think that goes into the way of the warrior, you know what I mean? And very much like bringing people into the way of wellness, bringing people into the way of being good people, but strong people, you 100%. Know, that can take care of our own, you know? So this was a whole conversation Josh and I had before we got started, and now we're going to get into it. And it's the way of the warrior, you know, and what is the way of the warrior? You know, I think that's kind of like, I see warrior everywhere, you know, and I think warrior is almost overused because warrior was originally those that protect their tribe, you know, like that's very much what it was about. Samurai, I think, you know, the real meaning of samurai is the love of the tribe, you know, and the warriors protect the tribe. And so there's a lot of warrior man and warrior this, you know, but it's like, if you can't protect yourself and your family and your tribe, you know, are you really, I mean, what are we talking about warrior then?
Exactly.
For? You know, I mean, yeah, maybe you can provide. Yeah, maybe, because that's the number one thing that women look for now is to provide, you know, but it's, there's a lot of things happening in our society elsewhere that, that I think one of the reasons we feel unsafe is because our politicians mainly are not warriors.
Mm-hmm.
They are scholars and they are
politically correct.
Right.
Not wanting to stir the nest or have too much friction, and they want to be super likable.
Yeah, that's they want to goal. Be likable.
Right.
That's the way to get into office, right? Like, how do you talk to the crowd? Instead of speaking about what's important, you know, what needs to be heard. So, you know, I think that one thing that's interesting, you know, is in the United States, the rise of ultimate fighting, of MMA, of martial arts in general over the last 20 years, you know? I mean, were you watching the UFC 20 years ago?
So this is between you and me and now our podcast.
But,
so just keep this low key. I actually had a dream to get into the UFC, and I was like, a Tito Ortiz with the flame shorts. That was my guy.
Uh-huh. Right.
I was like, I want to be like that guy. And he's Latino too. So I had an affinity towards him. So yeah, man, like I was watching UFC probably at the beginning stages. And then I've taken a hiatus from all sports and everything, just beating at my craft for probably 10 years. But yeah, before then, yeah, for sure.
Right. And there's a, even that, there's a big interest in it, right? And the interest is only growing and only getting bigger. So for you guys that don't know, I started my life is in traditional sports. I played baseball, football, basketball. My dad tried to keep us away from fighting. You know, my grandpa was a boxer. My great-grandpas were boxers.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, my great-grandpa was a professional fighter. He boxed and fought wrestlers, and his brother was a world champion and killed a guy in the ring. I mean, He decided to stop after that. And those all that kind of gave my grandma a bad relationship with fighting. And then my parents, you know, fighting was like, no, you're not going to be fighters. You're going to stay away from that. We're going to get you in traditional sports to take you away from that.
Right.
And it wasn't until I was 12 and I had a brother that would whoop my ass all the time in a loving way.
Jared,
he was
he's a bully, man. He slapped me up too. I saw him at your birthday party. I was like, hey, Malia, and my daughter's name is Malia. I was like, the last time I seen this guy, he slapped me up.
Yeah, bro.
He's like, you did the same to me.
He used to come in the room and wreck professional fighters, and they'd be like,
wow, who's this guy?
Yeah. What, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, he's the reason I was what I was.
Wow,
you know, like he was really the one that could have been.
Shout out to Jared.
Great, right? Yeah, older brothers. So. I decided to wrestle at 12 years old, and that got me into like learn, because I wanted to maybe be able to protect myself, be able to beat my brother. Mm-hmm. My junior high wrestling coach said, if you want to stop getting beat up by your brother, you need to come to wrestling. And I was like, I'll see you next week.
Yeah.
So still then, you know, there was no path to the UFC, right? Like there was no UFC yet, you know, like you could box. Mike Tyson was a thing, you know, but there wasn't. Yeah, you know, the Randy Couture's, the Conor McGregor, there was no path to the UFC.
Right.
There was not even any jiu-jitsu yet. So I think that you could do karate and you could break a board or something like that. That's as aggressive as it got in martial arts as I was growing up, and you too. Mm-hmm. So, I went and played baseball and football in college, and I got All-American at Dixie. Football.
Nice.
I had a great year my sophomore year. And the reason I say this is because the average kid that was like me played basketball, football, baseball, wanted to be an athlete, right?
Yep.
And that's how we did it. But then when I was 22 years old, transferring from Dixie to the University of Utah, I had a full ride scholarship to go up to the U and play football. I'd worked my whole life to be able to get to this point, to have an opportunity to play at a Division I school where pro scouts could see me so that I could play in the NFL. And that was the goal. That was what was going to happen. But then I was on my way home from St. George to Salt Lake, and I heard this ad on the radio that said, if you think you're the toughest guy in Utah, we're having no holds barred fights downtown at Club DV8.
Oh, shit.
Call us, 801, da da da. And I was like, and the winner gets cash prize. And I was like, I had been in 100+ street fights, right? Like anybody that knows me from growing up, I don't need to like validate that. They know
right?
I was famous for fighting before I was ever a pro fighter, you know? And a lot of the times it was just for sticking up for people and seeing who was tougher.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Sticking
up for people.
So I think that then my buddy called me. So my buddy called me right afterwards and was like, bro, I just heard this thing on the radio. His name's Charlie Johnson. And I was like, I heard the same thing. And he's like, I wrote the number down for you. You should call. And I was like, I'll call. He's like, there's fights this weekend. And I was like, I'm all about this. You know, I called. It was a Thursday. I was like, hey, what's up? I heard you guys have some fights going on. And they were like, yeah, we have some fights. The first round's this weekend. I was like, I want in. They're like, where do you train at? I'm like, I don't. I'm a football player. And they're like, okay, well, these fighters are trained fighters, you know? And I was like, that's fine. And they're like, what do you weigh? I was like, 195 pounds. They're like, we have one guy for you to fight. He's 9-0. He won the last tournament. His name's Hank Weiss. And I was like, awesome, I'll fight him.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, perfect. I went in, I signed up, I weighed in on Friday, and I fought on Saturday. And I went in there and fought this guy, and I beat him up the first round, throwing punches. But he had good defense. He was, like, avoiding me a lot, you know. I couldn't believe this dude was still in it after, you know, the first three-minute round or whatever. I went and sat down in the corner. I was exhausted. I could barely breathe. My dad wasn't there because they were like, you shouldn't fight. My mom wasn't there. My brother was at college. Nobody was there to support me, right? Like, my cousin was in my corner. I look at him and I go, I can't breathe. I can't move. And he's like, well, you better figure it out because you got to go back out in 30 seconds. So I got up. They pulled my chair out from under me. I walk out, throw a couple big punches at this guy, pick him up, slam him down on the ground. He arm bars me. I tap out. I lay there in the middle of the cage. I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever done in my life.
That's awesome.
And I was exhausted. Went back in the back, laid there, had this whole vision about what was going to happen with Ultimate Fighting. You know, and I didn't even know much about it. I just was like, this is going to be the biggest sport in the world. Like, I have to do this. There's a lot of freedom there for me if I pick this route, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is because that at that time, the UFC was banned. It wasn't allowed to be on TV. Senator McCain at the time, like, had banned it and made it illegal, termed it cockfighting. Like, two rooster, two cocks fighting, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Just to be clear. Just to be clear.
I'm pretty sure that's what we got.
and there was no Ultimate Fighter. There was no pay-per-views. So the UFC was not the sport. This was when it was in that phase of the Gracies started it with Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, where they had a jiu-jitsu guy facing a boxer, right? And so Hoist Gracie was fighting a guy with one boxing glove on, and that's how, like, this Ultimate Fighting started, you know?
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Is there a video of that?
There's video of that. So that's the early ones. Like, we'd have to go over to Blockbuster and get a tape and put it in the VCR. For those of you who don't know what VCR is, it's a big tape. You put it in there, right?
For you Gen Z.
And that's kind of like how you would have to find it, unless it was like these tapes that surfaced back and forth between friends and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, that was like this opening. But then Dana White ended up being taken to see in the UFC and took it to the Fertittas and was like, we can buy this for $4 million. And this was back in, I think, like 1997 or something like that, right? And Ultimate Fighting and the UFC and MMA was not even a sport for the most part. Nobody in mainstream America knew anything about it. Wow. So, I mean, really, the UFC has grown what it has grown into, from a $4 million business to a $5 billion business in 20 years, you know? And now it's everywhere. It's fights are on every week, you know, and it's given young men and young women something to see of and to aspire to being a professional fighter, to being a warrior. Before that, the only way to be a warrior was to go into the military or was to, you know, I don't know that the real term of, like, the warrior, there was a lot of other ways to do that, you know? But, and so the reason I tell that whole story is, like, there was nothing when I was 19 years old. Now there's martial arts everywhere, you know? And I believe there's a reason for that, right? I believe that now you can train in jiu-jitsu, you can train in kickboxing, you can train in wrestling, and you can train in MMA, right? And I think what's interesting about that is when martial arts in a society start to become popular and start to rise, it's a warning for society to arm themselves, right? Because the society oftentimes is going to fall and people are going to have to defend their families and their selves and their communities. Now, I'm not saying our society is falling. What I'm saying is know history so you know how to protect yourself and so you're not doomed to repeat it, right? So why has martial arts grown in this incredible rate over the last 20 years?
Right. So that's a question.
And I think it's a guide into being the way of the warrior, right? Now, for me, I'm a professional fighter, right? And we were talking, and so I don't have to justify that, you know, I've also been in the military. I've also went through weapons training. I've also had a whole nother line of training that extends the hand, that's for shooting, that's for things like that. I think what...
Wait, you were in the military?
Yeah, I was in the military, yeah.
Army?
Uh-huh, Army. Yeah, so I went into the Army, went into a Ranger Battalion, went through all the training. It's another story for another time.
Yeah, okay, yeah,
Got in a lot of trouble in the Army.
We'll get into that
because that sounds, I'm definitely a warrior, but I'm not a warrior that's meant to be told what to do.
Yeah, you're not subservient or docile or...
The Army, you need to work your rank up. And I was like, I'll beat your ass right now, bro. What'd you say? How dare you talk to me like that, drill sergeant? I didn't go over really well.
That is hilarious. Yeah, I have something similar too, where I was talked out of joining the Marines. We didn't really talk for a long time. It was like, I think, a year out of high school. But for whatever reason, she came up and she was like, "Hey, what's new in life? Like, how are you?" And I was like, "Oh, funny you ask. I'm getting shipped off next week to the Marines." And she's like, "Josh, don't get on that fucking bus." And she's like, "It's not what you think it is." I'm like, "I'm going to get a sign-on bonus.
Right.
I'm going to get
my school paid for."
Yeah. She's like, "Josh, that's all bullshit." And so she just kind of gave me the real of what's going
to
happen.
So we all have this like warrior within us, right? And that was even your path to kind of, "I want to go into the military. I want to turn into a man. I want to be a warrior. I want to defend my country." Right. And I think that it's something – I think we should train all men and women to defend themselves from a young age. I almost think that a form of self-defense and physical exertion is almost more important than logic and education early on. Yet we decide to make good men and women by putting them in a desk at 5, 6 years old,
right,
teaching them math, teaching them – English, teaching them, which I 100% agree. I think that's great.
Yep.
But I don't think it has to be so serious at that young of an age. And then to be a good man.
I have a different opinion on that.
Let's get into that.
Yep.
But then to be a good man, you go to school, you get good grades, you go to college, you go work for somebody, buy a house, get a good car, get in debt, and you become this slave, in a sense, or a subject to a system for a really long time. We don't ever teach, and I shouldn't say don't ever. I don't like hard thoughts like that, because I don't do that. I teach my kids get really good grades, and they're little badasses.
My sons are
gifted and talented. Yep. They're really smart. Atlas is tested for gifted and talented.
That's awesome.
And maybe I don't talk about that enough, because it's also very important.
Yes.
But I think that it's a balance, right? But what's the point of all of that if at 40 years old you're running a company and you have all these sales and you have this nice car and you have this beautiful home and you have an unhappy marriage and an unhappy life?
Exactly.
That is not – so now all of a sudden you have stress and Lyme disease and tension, and now they're like, "Oh, go breathe or move or take these things."
Yes.
I think that if we taught people to strengthen themselves early on through martial arts, through practices, through gymnastics, through and made it really important, which so many parents do. I shouldn't say that it's just not necessarily the way to a college.
Yeah.
Or to the home, or to the, you know.
Right.
And so I think that making a good human could be looked at a little bit differently. I think that making a good man or a good woman could be looked at a little differently, as in, what if we made physical education a little important, more important in the schools now than just being on a computer and learning how to like solve problems,
right?
You know what I mean?
And without getting into conspiracy theories, you can just look at the development of education. So education was created, elementary schools, the grade schools were created at the dawn of the industrial age. And so these owners of these factories.
You know who started the schools, factories?
Fords. The Henry Ford.
That's kind of what started the education system.
So they needed more competent workers.
Right.
Yep. So that's why they created it.
Yeah.
So if you're going off the premise of inception and at the beginning and to now, it's not any different. It still creates subservient individuals.
Right.
Right. There's not room for creativity. And so that's the question you have to ask yourself is, and I had to ask myself as being a father over the last 11 years or 12 years, is these systems and these processes and these cultural norms, do they care about the health and the wellness of my child?
Right.
Right. Does corporate America care about whether or not you get cancer? Right. Does employment or does your career actually care about you or the health and wellness of your relationships or of your families or anything? And the answer to that is a resounding no.
Right. And you should ask that question to yourself. I mean, rewind this right now.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Hear exactly what Josh just said and ask that question to yourself.
Yes.
You know, because that's a beautiful way to approach mm-hmm. your job, your career, your life. You know, and, I love the way you just said that.
And self-reflection is huge on that. And so you and I both agree. I have a post that we can date back 3 or 4 years ago when I posted about, I think the most important thing for my 8-year-old daughter at the time is for her to gain a kinesthetic intelligence, kinesthetically around awareness around her body. Right. Because learning how to move in space and gaining mastery over certain movements, handstand, gymnastics, you know, all of these things that are going to challenge you mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually.
Right.
It's like, if you can gain a kinesthetic intelligence, you don't have to at 15 years old, 16 years old, 18 years old, you're not going to be like, yeah, I would rather choose a job where I'm crunching numbers 8 to 10 hours a day, numbing myself physically, right. emotionally, right, mentally to pay a bill. That doesn't make any sense. Right.
Yeah.
The way that you feel when you're in your body is that is what intuition is. Right. And your intuition 100%. Will guide you to these same kind of truisms. So I like talking a lot about natural law, and I'm not speaking in terms of theory or philosophy. It's like nature, gravity exists, whether somebody believes in it or not. Right. The way a natural human lives, moves, breathes, eats, their intention day to day, there is a way to optimize that and to feel fully alive.
Right? 100%.
Benjamin Franklin said something really interesting. He said, most people die at 25 and are buried at 75.
Right.
And that's kind of around that same concept. Because actually, if we were kind of to sum everything up. So the way of the warrior, I think, getting back to that is you know, we live in such peaceful times, or we have in the last 80 to 100 years, that people have forgotten that, you know, there's 190 something countries, and every country is kind of vying for superpower. And at any given time, we could be in conflict.
Right.
And throughout history, whether you're talking about the Roman Empire or other empires, it's not that they were preparing for that. They were always prepared. That was just a part of masculinity. As a man, you would be trained in warlike arts, right?
Yeah.
And so that's something that we and the rise and fall of Rome was completely predicated or follows and maps to when men started diverging and saying warriorship or kinesthetic intelligence isn't as important as thought, theory, intellectualizing, mental masturbation,
right?
Right? And your mm-hmm. body is separate from your mind. And that's when the Roman Empire started to.
Right. Well, there's a quote that your society is doomed to fall when the warrior is separated from the scholar.
Right.
Right. When we start to separate those things, you know.
Say that again, because that's really powerful.
The society is doomed to fall when the warrior separates from the scholar, right? Where it's like we're supposed to be both of those things,
yeah.
right? Like we're supposed to be the warrior and the scholar. And if we just become one, if we become too mental, if we mm-hmm. become too involved with the mind and gathering information, then it gives us an emotional imbalance. If we become too stuck with exercise, too into the physical, mm-hmm. then we get stuck, you know, in that realm. And it really should be a beautiful balance of both of those things. What you were saying about the martial arts, right? Mm-hmm. The martial arts is the way of the warrior. Is all it is strengthening your senses. Mm-hmm. Now, if me and you were playing catch, that's definitely helping my hand-eye coordination,
right?
Right. Even another thing is like a baseball, right? If I'm up to bat and the pitcher throws the ball and he throws 900 miles an hour, I can't really see that ball. My eye can't pick up that ball that fast scientifically.
Right.
So there's something about the repetition of that that has created intuition of where that ball will be that I will hit it. Mm-hmm. So what's even faster than that is me and you standing here and me throwing a punch at you. Mm-hmm. Your eye cannot pick that up. You have to use your intuition to sense me to be able to miss that punch, right? You watch boxers and they're punching each other and dodging and moving. And mm-hmm. that is all intuition until you get caught with it. So what martial arts is you're strengthening what you see, what you feel, what you smell, what you touch. And it gets more complicated, right? Like yoga is the easiest form of that because there's no opponent. Boxing and kickboxing is the next like easiest form of that because all I have to do is stand up and punch and move. But when you interlock with another human, now you have to pay attention to how you're breathing, how they're breathing. And it wakens up your senses in a way that I believe nothing else can do, which is why martial arts is taught from Chinese medicine all the way into today, which is the earliest, you know, the Jade Tablets, 2,000 years old, the earliest writings we have of, you know, at least in this society of movement was martial arts. And why?
Right.
Why is, you know, the eight-limbed yoga? Why is, you know, all this? Why is Jesus bound on a cross so that he can't do movement, so he can't do martial arts?
Wow.
You know,
yeah.
Like, which is the Da Vinci, you know, Vitruvian man. And it's such a beautiful way of what you talked about with your daughter is moving in all these ways to wake up the senses. Because the more you can wake up the ankles and the knees and the hips and the belly and the chest and the shoulders, the more that you can strengthen this energy around you, which is your intuition, right?
Yep.
It's almost like eyes in the back of my head, which is definitely like an awareness, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the way of the warrior, is training through all these arts to heighten your senses, because when your senses are more heightened, your awareness is better. And when your awareness is better, the consciousness within the body is elevated or heightened, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the way or the warrior would be like, let's wake up our senses. Let's become more aware. Let's become more conscious.
Yes.
And that's why I think it's important that martial arts has risen in the United States and around the world more, is because it's like humanity needs strength. The warrior needs strength. The tribe needs to get ready to defend itself against whatever that is. It's also important now because we're so much on our phones and our tablets and looking at awesome TV shows, and that when you educated me on the blue light.
Yeah.
But when we see that blue light, it opens up these neural pathways.
Yes.
Mainly in the prefrontal cortex of the brain, though.
Right.
Right.
Activity.
That thinking part that's like, whew. And then when we shut the blue light away, they shut down, but they weaken. You know what I mean? Because they haven't been naturally stimulated. It's like an artificial stimulation. And martial arts or movement or breath or CrossFit or whatever that is, because
right.
I'm an advocate of
all
movement,
of it. Yep.
Dance,
yep.
Gymnastics, it gets the breath flowing. The more the breath is going, the more the lungs are pumping, the more the blood can get through the system, the more that the senses are awakened. And that is really what we're playing with, is that is waking up the human body, waking up our senses. And the way of the warrior is waking that up. But why? Why do we need that?
Yeah.
You know, that is the thing. And I think that takes me to where I was last night. You know what I mean?
Well, before you say that also, yeah. Because I want to make sure that we're getting clear on the message that we're sending. Is like, it's not just because conflict. It's like, I think when we're talking about human nature,
yeah.
I think when we talk about masculinity, being a man means that whenever you're in the presence of another man, there's always an undercurrent of aggressive nature. And here's what I mean by that. If I call your wife a name or your child something, you know, and I disrespect you,
right.
There's physical violence going to come from that.
Right.
You know, people don't go around saying certain things as a man to man, right?
For
you don't
sure.
go around just disrespecting other men, because you're going to get popped.
There's a consequences for
right.
your actions.
But that's something that the feminine energy, or people who, you know, when we talk about all these genders that are now a thing, and it's like they don't understand that about men.
Right.
That's an aspect of masculinity that's there and will always be there.
Right.
That's a part of our biology.
Absolutely.
Right? And so just because you have lived through peaceful times, and now that it seems like there's conflict is going to come up, whether it's on a world scale or a community scale or national scale, I've just through my daily interactions and business and day to day, I've noticed a heightened level of aggression.
Aggression, for sure.
People are more ready to argue. People 100%. Are more ready to disrespect you, even subtly. It's very meta.
Right.
You know, it's like where somebody wouldn't normally cut you off and let you speak, they'll cut you off. Well, their posture, there's different, you know, vantage points of power.
We're all a little wound up.
Yes.
For whatever reason.
Right. So, I wanted to make that clear. It's like, hey, this has always been there. And just the fact that it's getting more, you're gaining more awareness around it doesn't mean that it hasn't always existed.
For
You've
sure.
just lived in a very peaceful environment.
Well, and so this kind of goes into what we're going to go with too, but you've lived in a peaceful environment. I've lived in a war environment.
Yes.
Because for 17 years, I was getting ready for physical
right.
one-on-one altercations, mm-hmm. right? So like now that I don't have that, you've been to my house.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Bro, I'm in my backyard, raking my mm-hmm. leaves, prepping the garden. That's where I love to be. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking for that fight anymore.
Right.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. and because I have lived the life of a warrior in my younger, powerful years, mm-hmm. right? I've been through war. I've seen people get beat up. I've seen, and I've also seen people get shot and I've seen people get stabbed. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I've seen this. I've seen too the effects that this warlike lifestyle has mm-hmm. on people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I don't want to create that necessarily
right.
for myself or anyone anymore.
Right.
I don't want this. I like to do it in a training environment in case it ever happens.
Yes.
But it's not what I want to create for somebody necessarily right. all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you look back at, you know, these older societies, oftentimes the king or the general was the greatest warrior. They were mm-hmm. the head of the army. They were the general, and the general went into being into, you know,
led his troops,
yep. you know, which is kind of like, you know, there's even a couple books that talk about, you know, you're a child, you're a student, you're a, you know, you go apprentice, warrior,
right.
General king, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like this, you have to go through this thing. And, you know, I think with, you know, in our leaders and politicians today, I don't think enough of them have been smacked in the mouth.
100%.
I think it's way too easy for Bush might have left the army, right? Like
right.
went in for a minute and like left. Trump wasn't a soldier. Obama was not a soldier from what I know, nor is Biden. But they have no problem sending 2,000, 4,000 troops over to Middle East or wherever that is, and letting people get blown up and letting people die. And I think that the warrior and the person that's been in war mm-hmm. and the person that has been educated through that has a more respectful or possibly reverent tone for war.
Yes.
I think it's too easy for some of our politicians to be able to send people to war because they haven't been in it. 100%. You know, and I think that that's part of like where we need to maybe get the warriors more involved in what's happening, because maybe those warriors that turn into leaders are more apt to bring peace.
Yeah.
And maybe through peaceful times because they want peace around them, right? Which I think we're playing with now. I think we have leaders that are scholars and that are capitalists, but they're not reverent towards war. War is to be monetized and conquer, mm-hmm. right? And so it might be it's probably been a really long time since we've had a leader that understood that.
Yeah.
And I think
we've there's been politicians who have had the background in war, but they're never put in place because
right.
it has nothing to do with that,
right.
unfortunately.
It's
it has everything
more
to do with propaganda, how well you can manipulate media.
Corporate America.
How well you can sell yourself.
Yeah, right? Corporate America. I mean, the person that becomes the president is the person that put the most money into their campaign.
Exactly.
I had a conversation about city council last night. It's like, yeah, it's about $25,000 to get in. You know, that's what you have to gain to be able to put posters everywhere to get enough notoriety to get into that city yep. council member.
Yeah, my older brother wanted to run for office, and his campaign, he wanted to raise $1 million to run.
Right.
So
yeah, that'll get me into governor.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to get started soon, y'all. And the reason I talk about the governors and the leaders is because we all have opinions on the way we were locked down, the way we were put in masks, the way we had to be subservient to protecting each other because of medical conditions and COVID and things like that. But we also want to stand up for ourselves, and we also want our politicians to stand up for us in a way that they hear us, the way that they reflect society. And that happened in one way, but it maybe didn't happen in another way. You saw people in Florida stand up and their governor stand up, and people get real excited about it. 100%. In Michigan, you saw a governor kind of conform to everything, and some people were happy about it, and some people didn't like it at all. And, you know, I think that the way of the warrior is needed just to stand up for humanity, to stand up for each other. So last night, I went to this event, and it was Operation Underground Railroad event. And there's a new movie coming out about Operation Underground Railroad and Tim Ballard. And Tim Ballard's kind of the main guy who is behind OUR, is behind rescuing a child that led to rescuing more child that's rescuing thousands of children now. And the movie is Sound of Freedom. That's the name of the movie that's coming out. And
which looks awesome. The trailers are crazy.
It's such a powerful movie, you know, and I think pretty much everybody knows what Operation Underground Railroad is doing. And they're basically rescuing children. And a lot of this information is not mine. This is what I heard last night, and this is kind of like me repeating what Tim Ballard said, right? Mm-hmm. But child trafficking is now one of the biggest businesses in the world.
It's insane.
Millions of kids are in slavery. Millions of kids are in slavery. And it's for sex trafficking. They're being raped. It's for organ harvesting.
Wow.
Yeah, organ harvesting is a thing, people, and we need to wake up to it. We need to wake up to – there was videos of these kids standing outside of a grocery store, and their parents are on a machine. A car pulls up, grabs their kid, puts it inside, Whoa. And is gone. I don't know about you, but I get an Amber Alert on my phone.
Every day almost.
Every day almost, feels like, right? Yeah. And it's like you want a reason to be a warrior. It's not to look good. Uh-huh. Maybe it isn't even to feel good. Those are just the benefits of it.
Yep.
But the number one reason a man should be in physical condition is to protect his family. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, that is why I live the way that I live now. It's not so you can be like, oh, he's an old UFC fighter. Mm-hmm. No, because if you fuck with my wife or my kids, I'm going to beat your ass. And if I can't do that, well, my gun's not far away.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's how serious it is to me.
Right.
But it's how serious this movie makes you
I can feel it.
Like it
I
is, can feel it when like when speaking. I'm talking about certain things, right. I'm like,
chill. Yeah.
But when I'm talking, yes. like this woke me up,
100%.
And this is important to us because.
And just so you know, this movie is not getting a lot of noise behind it.
Right. It's not out yet.
No, I know, but in general, the trailer's been out for a while now.
Right.
So I don't know what's going on, but for whatever reason, this isn't like. You know, the newest Disney movie coming out. What's the name of the movie again?
It's called Sound of Freedom.
Sound of Freedom. And yes, the trailer is live now. You can go watch it.
Go look at it.
Yeah.
And two, we're going to put some video up of Tim Ballard speaking last night. We were not supposed to let anybody know we were going to the screening of this movie.
Yeah, because I didn't know, bro.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to tell you. I couldn't.
I couldn't tell you.
So, but two, in this movie, there's like multiple scenes. There's not much that messes with me.
Yeah.
There are multiple scenes where I'm like, I don't know if I want to watch this. I don't know. There's a scene where there's a little boy on the bed that gets dropped off for this man. Mm-hmm. The guy has a bottle of alcohol and he's drinking his drink and he looks at the little boy and he goes over and sets the little bottle down, you know, puts his hand on the little boy and shuts the screens. And he rented this little boy for a week.
Jesus.
And you're like, and the director does such a good job of taking you so deep in it to making you want to leave to understand the situation and what's happening in the world.
Right.
And then shut you off and makes you not have to watch that part.
Who's the director of this?
God, I don't remember his name. And we'll look and you'll give him credit.
Yeah, I'll give him credit.
You know? 100%. But Alejandro something, right? But Mel Gibson is the one that has went in and like helped edit this.
Mel Gibson.
It's a massive undertaking, which is why you haven't heard about it yet, because people have been like, wait, let's have them do this and let's it's an incredible movie.
Yeah.
But so it brings you in, and I tell you that because we need to be, Josh, you and I were talking about this. Tim does a good job of explaining the Holocaust and how did we let this happen?
Yes.
How did we let the Jews get killed? And right. I say this with humility and respect, you mm-hmm. know, but also in the same way that Tim did of like, but it's, we need to know this is happening, right? Because there's millions of kids that are in slavery. And what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Are you watching Housewives? Are you just watching your shows? Or do you really care to start to try to do something? Or because if you don't, then you probably know what you would have done during the Holocaust. You would have sat back and let that happen so your life wasn't disturbed, right? And I have
that message is so important that I don't remember what book I was reading, but it's like statistically, you are more likely to have been somebody on the sideline than a hero in that time.
Right.
And everyone wants to pontificate or pander or, you know, daydream that they're going to do the right thing. But no, that's not the case. You're not.
Right.
And you right now in this moment are not. And there's atrocities of humanity, especially of our children going on right now.
Right.
I don't even want to think about my children in that context, but that's what it is. That's somebody's daughter or son or baby or infant. Like I've even heard statistics that it's like, if you think this is like, you know, at a certain age that seems semi-appropriate, it's like as young as a month out of, you know, from given birth, like some heinous shit, some really heinous shit. So it's really important that you hear what Josh is saying. You've got to be prepared to face the things that are actually that are happening every day. You have to.
That's courage. That's bravery, right? Is to face the things that scare us.
Yeah.
And again, like I don't even get credit for this. This a lot of this is Tim Ballard, but this story too. Like this is why it's so serious for all of us. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you take a bag of cocaine and you sell that bag of cocaine, right? They get how much ever money for that transaction.
Sure, I know all about this.
And that bag of cocaine goes away, and then they have to grow more and build more and do it again.
Yes.
It's huge business.
Yes.
If you get a child slave, you can take that child slave and you can use that child for 10 years over and over and over and over again. You can use that child 5 times a day for 10 years. And that is why child trafficking has turned into the biggest business in the world today, is because they can be used over and over and over again. And it's like, oh my goodness, right? Like, and then, I won't tell you the movie, but I'll tell you Tim's story. It was, what if that was my kid?
Jeez.
What if that was my kid? And this business is so big and it's growing so fast that if we don't do something, and he said if he doesn't, because he's the hero in this and doing this, if he didn't do something, and he was talking to his partner that he wanted, if you don't do something, mm-hmm. it's going to start to affect your life. It's going to affect somewhere in your family or your daughter. And it's like, whew, that's how fast this is growing. Now, this is about what was going on in Colombia, about what, you know, how he started Operation Underground Railroad. But there's a nice little, you know, he just does a good way of explaining it all. But it's like, guess what? America is the number one country for child trafficking because we got the money, the perverts, they're willing to spend the money. And
we're the biggest consumers.
We're the biggest consumers.
The United States is the biggest consumers of that.
So What?
What?
That means it's your neighbors. It's people you know.
That's
it's
crazy.
Open your eyes to it.
Yeah.
Open your eyes to it because it's everywhere. Pedophilia is everywhere. And part of strengthening our senses, strengthening our awareness is like, who's around my kids?
100%.
Who's around my family? Do I feel like something's off?
Right.
You know, do I have my son's hand when mm-hmm. I'm walking into the store? If you know me, you know why I am the way that I am. Mm-hmm. I'm very protective mm-hmm. because this is the world we live in. And I train kids for a reason, to protect themselves against bullies, to heighten their awareness. Mm-hmm. Man, but I am not going into these war zones and saving these kids. And so this is one of the cooler parts of the story for Tim Ballard and how he's, I'm like, I have no heroes, but if there's a hero,
right there.
this guy,
100%.
He had arrested 1,000 pedophiles. Mm-hmm. And somebody said to him one day, how many kids have you rescued? And he said, none, but I've got 1,000 pedophiles. Mm-hmm. And that switched it for him. And he went and found this little girl and this little boy. And that turned him into rescuing.
So he was going after the consumers.
Yeah.
And then he created the underground, the operation.
Yeah, because they hadn't got any kids. And they're like, what if that was your kid?
Wow.
I'd go find her. And so he went and found him. And the movie's incredible. The story's incredible. It's based on the true story of him and what he's done.
Why is there a narrative in the public eye that tries to undermine what he's doing?
You know, I think anytime that somebody's trying to do something good and grand and there's light, you know, darkness tries to creep in. And then, too, anytime you're trying, what I saw, I'm very skeptical of everything.
Yeah.
Everything. I'm like, what until I kind of
right.
study and learn, and especially when like big money's involved. But here's the thing is right now, Tim Ballard was supposed to be there last night. He couldn't be because he's over in Ukraine. He's rescued 700 kids already. We're going to put some video up of him talking to us last night.
Okay.
And about what they're doing. But they rescued 700 kids already, so he couldn't be there. But he was able to talk to the crowd and be like, this is why it's important. Why it's important is because it costs money to go rescue the kids, right? Like, and I think as you gather more money and people see you getting more money and more things, you know, they're like, why? You know, what do you need that much money for? Probably costs a lot of money to fly the mission over to rescue the kids. Not only just to rescue the kids, but to buy a piece of plot in Costa Rica. It cost a lot of money to rehab these kids, to take care of these kids, to give them a life and
of
future.
All that. Yeah.
Yeah. And, and listen, guess what? If Tim Ballard needs some really nice things when he gets home to be able to enjoy his life so he can go deal with the darkness, he deserves whatever he decides to get.
And he's probably not. Probably not doing any of that. Like what you just said, the infrastructure, the manpower, the tactical equipment, they have to have spies. They have to have, there's so many different parts probably that we can't even, we would sit here for an hour naming every aspect of it. So for sure, the money is...
Right. And that's why the only reason I say that
is
if there was somebody that was having... you were saying there was some backlash for OUR or whatever would be. It's like...
It's because...
No, it's funny. People are doing great things. People are going
to
harass them. I was in the UFC
and
I'd whoop people's asses. Uh-huh. And the one thing people would put is, why does he have a tramp stamp? It's like, bro, did you not see me just whoop that dude's ass and you're going to talk about my tattoo? Like, come on.
What is the story behind that tattoo? You know?
So the tattoo—that's
a side topic.
Well, there were no tramps at my school, and then nobody had tattoos. I went to an East Side white school, and man, the truth is I had this dream I had never drank, never smoked, never had sex in my life at 18 years old. My parents got divorced. I had this dream that my life was going to get hectic, and there was going to be a lot of chaos, and it was exciting and it was fun, but there was fame. And there was lots of that and a lot of worldly passions were experienced, you know, and a lot of that came through, you know, drinking, sex, partying, fame, all that. And so the tattoo is in the middle. There's this the righteous home of God, and there's virtues within that home. And on the outside is chaos. And in my dream, God told me, you got to go through this. You got to go through this struggle. You got to learn all these things about the world. Mm-hmm. Said, but if you ever want to find your way back, you find your way back through virtue and righteousness, mm-hmm. and you'll find me again, and then your life will be peaceful again. Mm-hmm. And that's the tramp stamp. That's a tattoo on my back.
That's awesome. And you didn't even know that there's a stigma associated with that.
No, I mean, I had no idea. Yeah, yeah. And two, it's, man, I could get the tattoo off. There's fantastic.
Right.
It doesn't bother me.
Oh, that would have been badass.
That would have been dope on camera. It doesn't bother me what people think about my tattoo. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a beautiful story and dream and remembrance for me, which is why I teach the way we teach in meditation.
Yeah.
The seven virtues, the eightfold path of nobility, blah, 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 blah. So that's where the tattoo's from, if that even makes it.
Right, right.
So all my tattoos have meaning, as they should. Sure, we'll get into it one day. Mm-hmm. But the thing with Tim Ballard is it was awesome, and I think it's important to – he has epitomized the way of the warrior.
I bet.
And – to use his warriorship and training to do something that makes a difference in these kids' lives, that will impact the world in a proper, hopefully in a good way. And I think that it's important that we bring a little notoriety on that as we talk about the way of the warrior. It's not about just training in the dojo. It's not about just training kids. It's also not something that's so far removed from us that we shouldn't pay attention. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, just 6 months ago, it was nice and peaceful in Ukraine. You could probably run down to the coffee shop, get a coffee, you know, probably a lot like life here is right now. And now, you know, Russia couldn't get into Kyiv and they're very upset about it. And so they're now bombing on their way out through the West, and they're creating a lot of orphans. They're creating a lot of trouble, a lot of problems. It's like, and then you see these professional fighters that are fighting with the military. So, you know, with the stuff that's happening in Kyiv, it's like the way of the warrior is being shown to us. You know what I mean? Is Russia's coming in. Like, I don't know all the politics of it. I don't know the truth of what's happening over there. You know, I'm like everybody else. I see parts of the news and I read what I read, and you know, there's a little insight to what's also really happening because of people that I know that are over there, right? Mm-hmm. But as Russia comes in and they can't get to Kyiv, you know, they're bombing everybody on the way out. And you just said a minute ago, men over the age of 18 can't leave the country
or they'll be shot.
And the reason why that is because they want them to stay there and fight and protect their country.
Yep.
You know, and I think that, you know, it's just important to, if on the best case, to, we're seeing this play out in Ukraine. People are having to fight for their lives, fight for their families, fight to protect their children and their society. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's just important to possibly be prepared for that. We've been comfortable for so long. We have lived mm-hmm. so good in America. Hopefully that we can strengthen ourselves and be peaceful or good in the mind and good in the body so much that we can leave that to the next generation and the generation after that. Mm-hmm. But if not, back to our quote that we repeat over and over, it's better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war. And I think that's why martial arts, the way of the warrior, training, you know, making sure you know how to use your pistol and those things is, you know, just in case, you know, you want to make sure that you can protect your kids. What if somebody tries to get your kid? What if somebody how are you going to defend that situation the best you possibly can in that moment? I always like to say, listen, I live peacefully. I'm protected and the people around me protected. Mm-hmm. Ideally, I wish we could all have the consciousness to create that for ourselves and those around us. Mm-hmm. But life is life. And since the beginning of time, it has been life, death, war, and battles. Mm-hmm. And I would be surprised if we don't see a form of that on our soil in our lifetimes.
100%.
So, and lock in the way of the warrior.
You lock in the way of the warrior. You're a dangerous man that has that under voluntary control. That's what it is to be a strong man, is there's those aspects. And one of those aspects is warriorship.
100%.
Right? So being a warrior, being confident and competent in being able to defend yourself, staying physically fit, staying ready, right? It's better to be ready than to get ready.
Yeah.
Right?
Type of thing. I don't have to get ready. I'll stay ready.
Exactly. Yeah. And when it comes to leadership now, I think the population is now waking up to we've got to get weak men out of office. We've got to get weak men out of leadership roles. Because if you fear strong men, dangerous men that have that under voluntary control, then I don't remember what the quote said, but it's something to the extent of if you're fearing the wrong part of masculinity, you want strong men. Because if you think what strong men can do is dangerous or crazy, wait till you get a weak man in office that has access to nuclear bombs.
Right.
And they're pulling the trigger out of fear. And out of, you know, a misinterpretation or diagnosis of a situation because they're scared.
Right. There's a thought that, you know, it's not the, and I'm going to use your words, it's not the strong man or the trained man that you need to be fearful of. Mm-hmm. It's the weak, insecure one because they are constantly trying to prove themselves, you know, and it's just like, yeah, I mean,
It's a game of ego.
It's a game of ego for sure. And to the strong men, you know when you're around a good, mature, masculine being because you feel safe around them. Yes. They make you feel comfortable. There's not a reason. It's not an accident that my kids' classes are full. You know what I mean? But it's also not an accident that a lot of these pro fighters don't necessarily want to be around me and their egos are in check, you know, battle. I have nothing to prove. I've already proved it. I would love to strengthen our kids and our community and be a place where they're like, yeah, I want to be tough, but also can come over and I can throw my arm around them.
Yeah.
You know, and I had a couple people in here the other day swearing, and I was like, watch your mouth. And they're like, what, we can't swear in the other way? I said, no, that's my wife and that's my baby in her belly. Watch your mouth or I'm going to throw you out. And they were like, cool. And they were good.
That's
what my friend, it's one of my friends, you know? And it's like, I think that you were talking about this before too. What's a good man? A good man is not a yes man. Good man is not somebody that lets them, you know, walk over and do what they want. And so polite. It's like, I'm pretty polite. But then again, if you disrespect the values of where we are and what we're doing, then you won't remember me for being polite.
Exactly.
You know, and I don't think that means I'm a bad guy.
It doesn't. It means you're a good man. It means by definition, you're a strong man who has that under control. And that's it's not like, you know, if you subscribe to the ideal of becoming or taking the warrior path, that you are all automatically put in camp with Genghis Khan, or you know that you are like you're going to go and kill and dominate and rape and pillage villages or nations. No, that's just an aspect of being a man. The three aspects that actually a church leader from the LDS Church talks about masculinity. I know his name, but I loved the way he talked about it. First aspect is men need some sort of war. You know, they need some sort of warriorship or they seek kind of this conflict. It's just an aspect, like becoming a warrior is just an aspect of masculinity.
Right.
Two is adventure. Men need some sort of adventure. Right. And then the third is a strong masculine, mature masculine's ability to revere femininity. Femininity is not any less powerful when it's coming and fully expressed as the strong masculine is for men.
100%.
Right. And so when you can revere and support and love and cherish the feminine.
That's awesome.
And that's why it was so powerful. Yeah. But that quote, just to kind of tie it together, is by Jack Donovan. He says, "A man who is more concerned with being a good man than being good at being a man makes very well-behaved slaves."
Oof. One more time, bro. One more time. Listen to that again.
For the one in the back.
Listen to that.
A man who is more concerned with being a good man than being good at being a man makes a very well-behaved slave. And that's
get out of your slavery.
Man,
get out of being a subject. Get out of, you know, stand up for yourself, your kids, humanity, and to do that, you have to be trained. Mm-hmm. And you got to have balance of mental and physical. You got to be intelligent and you got to be strong. The number one reason for you to be strong and powerful is to protect yourself and your family. Mm-hmm. And we need that from all of us. And it's important right now because I really believe that we have weak leaders. Mm-hmm. And I don't want my children to be led by men that are weaker than them. And that's what I'm trying to stand up for.
And most of the men that are reaching out to us now from this podcast and from our own, you know, social spheres of influence are men that are like, hey, it's hard for me to find a job or to keep a job or to do this because I can't take direction from somebody who is weak, who is not well developed in these different aspects of masculinity. And that's fair. That's a fair point.
Right.
You know, it's like how can you be a wholehearted leader if you can't lead yourself?
Yeah,
right. Absolutely. If you look at the attributes of masculinity, direction, what is that? I just wrote down, you know, 12 different aspects of what it means to be, what the healthy masculine looks like. And every attribute, I'll just use direction as example. You've got to start with self-direction before you can direct others, right? It starts with self-empowerment before you can empower others.
Absolutely.
And it's something that's missing. It's like, how are you going to be somebody who's going to teach me, you know, MMA when you've never fought in the UFC,
right?
Or if you've never fought in a cage.
Absolutely.
Right? How are you going to, it's like,
how are you going to teach me to make money if you don't have no money?
Exactly. How are you going to teach me to get in the best shape of my life when you're 50 pounds overweight?
100%.
Right?
Yep.
So it's like, you've got to be the leader. You've got to be self-directed. And that journey isn't, you don't just wake up one day and like, I'm ready to be a leader. If you have led yourself astray for 30 or 3 or 4 decades, right?
Absolutely.
And so it's fair. It's fair when you find somebody who metaphorically feels like a rooted, strong, you know, a rooted tree that's strong and tall, and it makes everyone around you feel safe and grounded. It's fair when that person meets somebody who's weak or who's insecure deep down in their essence because they haven't gone through the experience themselves.
Yeah.
It's fair for Absolutely. Them to be like, why am I listening to you again? Yeah. But tell me why your opinion even has any weight.
Right. There's a wise man, right? They seek advice only from those they would change places with.
Yes.
Right. And also, don't give advice unless you're asked for it. Mm-hmm. People are just spitting out all these things, and people oftentimes just want people to listen to them. Mm-hmm. When you listen to them, then people ask you for advice, and that's where you can give somebody seeds of wisdom. Mm-hmm. You know, and two, just to kind of like tie this up.
Yeah.
Because today me and Josh, you know, we had a little conversation. We've been busy in our lives, you know, and it's in, but we're being consistent and trying to continually put out this content because we have a vision for something, but we're doing a lot of things in our lives.
Right.
And this conversation is fully just authentic and thrown at you. It's not, we don't study for it. I didn't have a thing over here that I'm like, I'm going to read this today.
Right.
You know, if I wanted to, I could study for 2 hours and I could come out here and blast point after point and give you these quotes. Mm-hmm. But I also think there's too much of that today. Mm-hmm. I think it's okay to just be like, Josh, I think we should talk about martial arts. And you say, Josh said, let's talk to Way of the Warrior. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's perfect because we went to this event last night. Mm-hmm. You guys, we are not trying to orchestrate this perfect speech to you.
Right.
That's what Obama does. That's what Trump does. That's what Biden does. We're here. I'm a good husband. I'm a good father. I work my ass off. Josh does the same thing. We have some things that we come together and talk about, and we're building something. Mm-hmm. And that's what this conversation was about today. Mm-hmm. It's just me and Josh coming in and sitting down and spitting out the Way of the Warrior. The reason he read that quote is because it was what we were talking about as we were talking about what we were going to talk
about
3 minutes
before. Yeah.
This is not always going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. This is not always going to be the most successful, great thing in the world.
Right.
And what I want to tell you guys is that's okay.
Mm.
We are so after success and being more successful than the other and competitive success. Mm-hmm. I'm not in competition with any of these other people that are doing podcasts And I see all these dudes with big beards and tattoos and telling people to have a be a man. That's why I shaved my beard. I'm a grown ass man that can whoop most people's ass, and my face is shaved like a woman. Because I don't want to be like them. I don't want to be perfect.
Exactly.
I'm just a husband, I'm just a father, and I'm just a hardworking American trying to do his best. And I need your help to make sure this country and community stays great. Mm-hmm. This is not supposed to be perfect. It's just me and Josh sitting down and bullshitting.
Yep.
At least today.
At least today. Yeah. And it's so true. And I think just to end on the impact that we're looking to make with this is the men's group is initiating men, is going through rituals, creating things that are going to make men better mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And so they can take that back to their families and their communities. And I think long term, if I'm calling the shots, or if I'm like Barry Bonds or Babe Ruth and I'm pointing the bat to the home run, I think the men's group is going to be awesome. But I think creating a culture that recognizes the transition from boyhood to manhood and putting that in place, I think that that's going to tie really well with what Josh has been doing for the last few years, which is training the children of our community, right? And so it's already there. Men's groups, rite of passages. It's just a bridge that needs to be built anyway.
Absolutely.
So,
and let me say this. I see so many of you guys looking at our videos and not liking our shit and then repeating stuff that I say and not subscribing, but watching.
Uh-huh.
You're a hater. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you're my friend, mm-hmm, and you go and you watch this and you don't like it, you're not my friend, because we're trying to build this together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, at least like it, at least subscribe to it. I'm also talking to myself, because I do that sometimes, like support each other, help each other.
Yep.
You know, like spread the things that you like. And I know a lot of people are doing that. But the more that that grows, the more that we can do this.
We
are talking about this men's group more because I've had my buddy Justin and my buddy Andrew reach out and be like, bro, I want to come to the event. When is it? Mm-hmm. You know, and now we have, you know, a group of 7 or 8. But if you would like to come and you would like to do the hike on Mount Olympus and you would like to do the ice bath, and you would like to get the weapons training from Jimmy, and then you would like to sit around and have this discussion, let us know, because I'm motivated, but I get more motivated when you guys let us know. When Josh is like, bro, we're at almost 2 million views, I'm like, it matters. People are hearing us.
Right.
When I get that messages, give us a little feedback. Tell us you want to be involved. Mm-hmm. Give us some likes. Help this spread and really get involved with it, because that's the biggest lesson I just got from Tim Ballard.
Mm-hmm.
Was if you were around when the Jews were being brought to their camps and did nothing, you know, it's hard to judge that, because the same thing is happening now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not getting involved now, then you would have done the same thing then. You guys, we have to get involved. We got to come together. This is our way of trying to like do our best to try to make a little bit of a difference, but we can't do anything without your help. So like, subscribe, let us know.
And so this is some masculine constructive criticism from Josh to the audience of men, which is like 90% men. So take that criticism, take that direct message and like and subscribe and share the content. It's, you know, it's as simple as just pressing a few buttons on your keyboard, and that's going to help our cause and what we're going to be doing over the coming months. So we're excited. This episode turned out way better than I thought it was going to turn out. You know, I had no expectations, but when you're talking about things that you're passionate about and there's purpose involved and you get inspired by real modern day heroes, like you saw that last night.
Powerful.
And then you took action on it today.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
That's exactly what it's about. That's
100%. Makes me want to do more, and it makes me want to call you out and be like, let's do more. Help us. Go help OUR. Like, let's just get involved, and everybody helps everybody. Because when the tide rises, all boats rise.
100%.
Let's do this.
All right, Wolfpack, like, subscribe, and thank you for tuning in this week. We'll see you next time on the Adaptive Alphas podcast.
Oh. Oh.